posting our regular meeting. We were off the record. But actually, regular meeting of December the 20th, 2011. And Madam Clerk, would you please?
Assemblymember Keel, District 1.
Present.
Assemblymember Wood, District 2.
Present.
Assemblymember Arvin, District 3.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan, District 4.
Present.
Assemblymember Salmon, District 5.
Present.
Assemblymember Culver, District 6.
Here.
Assemblymember Halter, District 7.
I'm present.
And we do have a plan, Jimmy.
Very good. We have before us the agenda on the discussion and the objection and the orders for the day. And that's right, I'm going to ask Ms. Woodruff to lead us in the question.
Of the States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I see Waxilla and Palmer are here, so we'll start close with someone. Mr. City Manager. Thank you very much.
Oh, keep it brief. I know you have a long night ahead of you. Just very quickly, thank you. My name is Doug Griffin. I'm the City Manager for the City of Palmer. Last Tuesday, a week ago, we did pass our budget for the coming fiscal year, which starts January 1st. Overall, we reduced our general fund by another 5.5%. So we are really running a much tighter budget. We cut a couple, or did not fill a couple more positions within our city government. And so we'll have to go forward and fight the battle over PERS and termination studies, perhaps, over those. But we'll see about that. Anyway, we've got a pretty efficient budget, one we can live with, but we are looking forward to hopefully getting additional revenue sharing and some other funds, but it is a balanced budget that's going to produce a surplus, we think, if our revenues come in as we project. The other thing that was presented to the City Council at its meeting last week was the City of Palmer Parks, Trails, Recreation and Field Master Plan. It's been about a year-long effort. It is out in draft form. You can go to our website and look at it and still comment. We're looking at trying to bring it to completion in February of next year. Some of this does involve the borough, and it's one of the things that really came clear as we questioned the citizens in the Palmer area was wanting to connect trails, and so the trying to find those missing links. And that would involve connecting the trails that are outside the City of Palmer to the Crevasse Moraine, for example, and some other, to open up some other trails so we would have a more interconnected trail system. We've been in the process over the last few months of rolling out a robocall system, and we're trying to populate that right now so we can contact people in cases of emergencies or even such mundane things that due to high winds we're not collecting garbage today, but important so people don't have their own trash cans going down the street. So again, it's a valuable communication tool, which we're very excited about employing that. We do have New Year's Eve coming up. Last year was at the first year, I believe, where we did allow personal fireworks. The council did modify that a bit to tighten the window. They're allowed from 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve to 1 a.m. on New Year's morning, day, whatever. The biggest concern we got from people were people that own horses and small dogs. And so we're trying to get people fair warning of that and just try to allow that one brief period of people to enjoy the New Year and bring it in with some fireworks. So just to let people notice that we're looking at doing that again this New Year's Eve and hopefully get the word out about that. Other than that, we're, as you are doing, getting ready for the legislative session, besides the going down and trying to capital projects, our big issues are going to be trying to do something to give us some more flexibility under the PERS termination studies and that system, because we have been in sort of a downsizing mode here the last couple of years. And so some of that, I think, is likely to fall squarely on our shoulders, and then also obviously to try to get additional revenue sharing funds for the city of Palmer. So I think those are two things we can join with the borough on the latter. So, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Member Keogh.
Through the mayor, Mr. Griffin, one of the items before the assembly this evening on the consent agenda is a resolution urging the Alaska Railroad and the state of Alaska to construct the extend the rail line where it exists near the fairgrounds through downtown Palmer and the depot. I've heard some of our business members strongly and expressly urge that that happen. Does the city of Palmer have an opinion on that one? And I mentioned it since you talked about the master plan for your department.
We do have some citizens of Palmer who are very interested in trying to do put a lot of energy and time into reopening the railroad. The city has not taken a position on that. We are looking at beginning an effort in March. It looks like it's going to be March now. I mean, I haven't actually talked to my city council about this in terms of some of the expertise we're trying to get to come to town to help us. We are looking at doing what I'm calling sort of the historic Palmer master plan, and I think the railroad is going to be a part of that. I know there was an effort earlier to do a separate, a term that was new to me, a charrette over this whole issue of the railroad opening and closing, and it was my recommendation to the council, which I think they're following, to try to make me deal with that issue in a broader context of how we want to develop our downtown and do a master plan, not unlike this, but to sort of our downtown with some action steps and things that we need to do and things that would hopefully put us in a better position to go after grant funding, because it's based on a very public master plan planning process. So I know I'm sort of avoiding your question because the city has not really taken a position on the railroad, other than it's been approached by citizens under audience participation, really urging the city to get on the stick and start trying to get the railroad to come back to Palmer.
Thank you. And we are, in our next meeting, we will be addressing our consent agenda to follow up on joint mayor's meeting, so
right,
people would have a little better idea sooner of what was happening to the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly.
Mm-hmm. It's Juan Phillips, Mr. Cox.
Mayor Carl, City of Wasilla, Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members. I have three items tonight. The first is, with me tonight, I brought a resolution of support on the funding for the rail extension. We'll be taking our City Council first meeting in January. I see it's in the governor's budget now, but we would hope that it stays. So maybe this will help keep it. So I brought a copy of that over tonight. Second, Lake Lucille Park update. We have just submitted our request to DNR. State Park, so that can, as part of the transfer over, so that's for that right now is with State Parks and DNR. And last, on behalf of the City of Wasilla, we'd like to say happy safe holidays.
Thank you, Member Culver.
Mr. Cottle, I'd just like to express thanks to the council and the mayor for putting the Massaburra Road bond package at the top of the legislative priority list. I think that really did help us leverage support of the governor and the governor's budget. So that's good. We're working together in kind of the same direction. I think that's working. Thank you.
You succeed. We succeed.
Yes. All right.
We'll be working with you and Palmer on the first Thursday.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is Houston here tonight? We don't see them. School district? Was there a joint assembly school board committee meeting?
No, we had a site selection committee meeting. I can do a quick briefing on that. Same type of issues.
I guess, if there's no objection, you can.
We met on the 12th. Quite a long agenda, but basically the direction is get focused on the schools that we need to obtain sites for now. And that be number one would be the high school, middle school, Connect. Number two, the Connect Elementary. And further down the road is keep working for the acquisition of the Iditarod replacement parcel. A couple different options there have been presented. Expand on the existing site if we can't come to terms with the seller. And so we'd hope to make something happen, move forward there and secure that land. Another issue is going to come forward, hopefully, through the process committee and the planning commission is that one of the sites that was looked at for this, what was called the South Palmer Elementary, which became Mocketons Elementary, was at the corner of the inner and outer Springers. And I asked it be put on the agenda. That site is still available. We have funds available. And so if we can get recommendations from the school district and the various planning commission site section committee, it would be a good move, in my opinion, for us to acquire that site, to land bank it, because those schools in Palmer are at capacity now. And, you know, when we run out of our five-year commitment we're in now, we'll need to be looking at that. So that may be coming to you. Frontiers was there. This is their first meeting, the representatives of the charter school. And so the district is running some numbers on possible co-location sites and other school sites where there's enough land to locate them on. What's happening is they've got science involved. The consultant, Shannon Bingham, he analyzes where the students actually live and where the bus routes are to actually pick the best routes and best locations for schools. So it's scientifically driven, and we won't have any misunderstandings, hopefully, on where schools get located in the future. So he's running some matrices on the different sites for Frontiers, and that'll move forward. The district priority year one, I have the dollar summary, and I can hand it out, and we can make some copies. But basically breaking out budgeting cash flow for year one. Year one is a $93,750,000 increment, $50 million for the Connect Middle High School, $19.5 million for the Valley Pathways, $10 million for Matsu Day School, $5.25 million for Palmer High renovations, $3 million for Big Lake Elementary renovations, $3 million for athletic field improvements at Colony, and $3 million for athletic improvements at Palmer High School. And then year two is on here as well. So I can hand that to the clerk and they can get some copies of that. That's what's going on.
That's for our five-year bond package.
Yeah, that's for the bond package. So, and then I suppose we'll be coordinating with the manager and Tammy on the bond sale timing and lining up our, really the what the activities will be happening is acquiring the site for the middle school, high school, Connect, a design contract for the that same school. They've got a site for the Valley Pathways, its existing site. So design of that school and design of the day school. And that's going to be at near the maintenance yard on Bogard, Tate and Bogard area. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what year one looks like. There is a conversation between our management and the district on what, like playground improvements, what dollar amount and what projects will be just handled by the district and won't be involved with borough procurement or borough construction management and design. And so I don't know if the manager has any more to add on that, but that is being worked out. I know the district's eager to get word on that. One issue that's kind of out there, we're not eligible for off-site improvements to a school site, road, utilities under the formula. And I think that there may be a move to try to get a tweak in the regulations or the statute to allow us to bond for off-site improvements. We've had issues there. How we fund the road upgrades or the utility upgrades necessary to actually get to the school site. So we'll have to see how that develops, and maybe that's a good subject for Mr. Manager for us to take up at that joint assembly school board meeting. That's pretty much it.
Okay, Madam Clerk, did you pick up on that?
Mr. Woods, did you have a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I wondered if they discussed that five-year bond project was one-fifth of the total amount and then depended upon the appropriation by the legislature for each year. Did they bring that up at all in their...
No,
I believe that money is already
approved. Yeah, and the used to be continuing, so it used to sunset, but the last rewrite of the bond bill took out the sunset clause. The Bush got with the buy-in that they wanted, and I think it's effective until repealed. But it's typically going to be in the governor's budget and the DEED budget, I would think. So we should be okay there.
Okay, any other public relations meetings, reports, Assemblymember Peel?
I just wanted to comment that today I attended a brief ceremony at the Valley Center for Recycling Solutions with the manager, the mayor, the public works director, a couple of staff from the borough. Celebration was for the purpose of the centers were just awarded the LEED Gold certification, which is pretty special in the world of building efficiency construction. They are the first recycling center in the nation to get this award, and they are the first industrial structure in Alaska to receive the award. And one of the positive spin-off effects of this certification for the planning division is trying to secondary construction of the structure is a significant savings in energy and space costs. It's going to be about $10,000 a year. So it's a great model of an industrial structure being built with good planning and energy of mine is a way to the money up spent up front winds up in a significant savings in the long run when you build a building of that quality. So the builder was there, the architect was there, the manager of the center was there, as well as those of us from the borough. It was another positive sign from the recycling center. So
thanks for giving me my report. Mr. Manager.
The only thing Stephen I have to add is our work session on goal setting on December 29th, just as a reminder.
Okay.
Maybe the manager would want to take note of, or the attorney might mention this in his report. We got word back from FEMA on. Is that your report? Okay. Nick will take care of
That's all your report, Mr. Manager?
Yes.
Mr. Attorney?
Yes. Well, Assemblymember Culver started mentioned it. There's a memo in your files here. If you recall, when you passed the flood hazard development standards, there was a minimum federal standard to be met, and the direction from the assembly was, you know, make sure we're at the minimum, but that we don't want to get out of the program. We don't want to go too far down. We've received confirmation that the program does meet the minimum standards, and the borough will not suffer, you know, getting kicked out of the program or anything like that. So we are still in compliance, even with the amended. I think it was a 90-day delayed effective date from that ordinance, so it will take effect here within the next, I think, month. But we've already got word back.
Okay.
So
we didn't get penalized for not being 1 foot over the
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Maybe they will follow our lead on continuous waivers. Madam Deputy Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to point out that you put this order in your rights order, but there was going to be an upcoming meeting. That's it for me.
Thank you. Moving along. Anything under citizen correspondence that I want to discuss? I am. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This evening is item number 11-260, monthly reporting of amended contracts and new awards under $100,000 along with all source procurement for the period of October 1, 2011 to November 30, 2011. Item 11-264, grant agreement with the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions in the amount of $75,000. And item 11-284, contract modification number 4 to Swelling Construction Company, Inc. for the emergency replacement of
Very good. That doesn't require action.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arden.
A question for the manager, please. I'd like confirmation that all of the contracts under $100,000 were competitively procured.
Mr. Manager. The list is there.
Can we jump back to that one?
That's 11-260.
My computer.
Page 129.
Which one's coming up? Can you go to the next item?
So can we come back to
all of what you're saying?
Yeah, we can do that.
Here we go. Thank you.
Assemblymember Arvin, we'll come back to that after I'm finished. It's going to take a little research. So we have before us ordinance 11-078, and clerk.
Thank you. That's an ordinance amending the operating rules, rates, and procedures for the supply of public sewer and water in Latino, Alaska by increasing the rates for monthly water and sewer charges and interrupted service fees. And accompanied is IN number 11-133.
Okay, this has been postponed a couple of times, so Assemblymember Halter.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, this is a difficult issue. I've been talking. This is a huge rate increase under this ordinance. I am going to ask my fellow assembly members to vote it down, but I'm going to ask staff to bring back a lot of remedies to try to correct the situation. And if you want, I can list them right now. And one of them would be a rate increase of 10% rather than this fairly higher rate increase. One of them would be the use bed tax. Which the community of Talkeetna pays a tremendous amount of their tax and $75,000 a year have legislation coming forward to go to the operating cost of Talkeetna sewer and water. The other remedies would be to pursue what Senator Huggins said he would do would be to seek EDC to forgive a $105,000 loan, and that would help. They're making quite a few payments a year on notes right now. And another would be to have staff see if we could find them to pay off the other two notes in next year's capital budget. So what we're going to do is that would reduce operating costs immediately for the permanent flat rate on the spot. They'd get a 10% rate increase plus a 2.5% rate increase for every year thereafter. They should be go considerably into the black. But so it's going to take a And I guess the mill rate up there, we probably should pursue a mill rate increase up there for that service area, the sewer board. One mill only produces $9,000 a year. But if that did go to the operating cost, that's another way to put two mills, of course, $18,000 a year. If you want 10 mills, of course, you'd be putting their total mill rate up there at 26. If you had one mill, you already pushed them up to 16, so they're already one of the highest, because they got several different things. So you want to be careful there.
Okay. Well, we've been through rules a little bit. But you're speaking against the
ordinance. Yeah. Right now, this is just a straight huge rate increase, and there's just basically a local public uproar talking over the moderate rate increase. And there's only 188 users or consumers or customers of the system up there. In the summer, there's in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 2,000, 2,500 tourists come a day using the facilities. Of course, it's all downtown pretty much. And so it's just a problem. I'm opposed to this passing this ordinance right here. It's a huge rate increase.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Armin.
Yeah, I really appreciate hearing what Mr. Halter said, and I'm curious, do we know how much revenue is generated from the greater Talkeetna area pursuant to that tax revenue?
I heard $75,000.
Well, that was my request. You used $75,000 a year. The total amount of bed tax we raise per year in this place, if you certainly can correct me, I think is in the neighborhood of between $800,000 and $900,000. The whole
That's borough-wide.
Right. Now, exactly how much comes out of Talkeetna per se, I think, is kept quite confidential for various users, you know, because of the private companies and stuff that are paying them and things like that. You know,
between Talkeetna and Chulitna,
you could pretty much surmise
majority of
you could pretty much surmise where it's coming from.
Well, if I could follow up, Mr. Mayor, I think that Mr. Halter's idea regarding the utilization of bed tax revenues to offset effective utility costs that the old property owners up there realize as a function of how many tourists are going through there seems like a reasonable thing to do. So I'd look forward to see that, Mr. Halter.
Thank you.
Okay, also, and speaking against the motion. And the member Keel.
Yep. I concur with seven member Halter on the postponing this.
I'm not postponing.
Well, I guess my question is, when would you anticipate bringing legislation back to revenue control?
As soon as the manager wants to quit paying for it out of his own pocket. So we'll be back tomorrow.
Pretty quick.
Further discussion? I've heard objection, so Madam Clerk, we'll have to do roll call tonight.
Okay. Assemblymember Keough?
No.
Assemblymember Woods?
No.
Assemblymember Culligan?
No.
Assemblymember Zammon?
No.
Assemblymember Colbert?
No.
Assemblymember Halter?
No.
Assemblymember Arvin?
No.
Okay, that motion failed. Can I make that?
Okay. First time I've heard that. since I've been mayor. I'm unanimous consent. For unanimous consent. Mr. Manager, are you ready for us to back up to Member Arvin's question about IM 11-260?
Yes, sir, I am. And that would be item G1. And yes, all those items have been competitively bid. Yes, I confirm.
Does that satisfy you, Assemblymember Arvin?
Yes, it does, Mr. Mayor, and I'm very pleased to hear that, because when we look at these, over time, a number of awards that are under 100,000 that get reported as opposed to approved, these numbers getting bigger and bigger. Just at a glance, this particular list is on the order of $500,000. So that's a lot of dollars going out for services that need to get done, and I'm just pleased to hear that they were competitively awarded and procured. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to unfinished business again, AM 11-103, Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Authorization to purchase communication equipment through December 31st, 2012 from Motorola in an amount not to exceed $500,000.
Okay, Mr. Manager.
Yes, we request this evening. This was brought back due to postponement for time certain. We were requested that the assembly put this to rest and kill this off. It will come back in a different form with the details that you have requested. So we're asking for not approval this evening of this.
Okay. Is there objection to not approving this? I don't hear any. Is that legal, Madam Clerk?
Yeah, I think you get the end result.
Yes. We all understand what we're doing.
The poor attorney. He's up there over there.
There's no gold, my friend.
There's no veto.
Well, gee, that's a change.
So we are ready for persons to be heard. There are no persons to be heard. Or was there?
No.
There wasn't. Okay. Public hearing, and Madam Clerk, please read into the record 11-158.
Thank you. An ordinance accepting and appropriating $238,150 from the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Program to Fund 425, Project Number 45158, for emergency and communications equipment and program coordinator wages. The company has resolution serial number 11-159, the scope of work and budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant, project number 45158, fund 425 for emergency and communications equipment and program coordinator wages.
Thank you. We'll open the public hearing. And we have two people signed up here. I mean Haynes, followed by Charles Overby. Is this what you intended to sign up for?
Is the railroad driveway?
No. I kind of wondered when I saw your names.
It's looking railroad driveway.
Okay.
I thought I got it right. I guess I got it wrong.
Does anybody else want to speak to this?
Being in
oh, okay. Our mistake. You were right. Is there anybody else back here?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I
Okay. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assembly members, Member Solomon.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 11-158 and accompanying resolution serial number 11-159.
Is there discussion? This one of those. Assembly Member Arvin.
Yeah, question on the scope of work. The last item is program coordinator wages. I'm wondering if what portion of an individual's wages this is, or is this another position for the borough?
Manager. Through the manager to Mr. Bryan.
To the mayor, to Mr. Arvin. Our program coordinator for emergency preparedness is B. Amber. She's a project employee.
No.
So it's not a new position?
It is not a new position. It's an existing position.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
Mr. Brodigan, so is that project position fully funded from this grant or just a portion of this grant?
Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Arvin, just a portion of her salary and benefits are funded through this program. Majority of it is funded through the wildfire mitigation program, but also there'll be additional legislation tonight for the Citizen Corps, Neighborhood Watch, and Community Emergency Response Team, but funded through Department of Homeland Security grant funding as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And now, Ordinance 11-159, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's an ordinance amending Map 2, Borough 1755-010 to create specific setback requirements for Alaska Railroad rights of way and amending Map 2, Borough Code 17-125 definition.
And now, Ms. Haynes, and followed by Charles Overby. And we will open the public hearing.
I'm glad. Thank you. I'm glad you guys are up here, not me. I'm not sure I'd like this job. Your job. My name is Eileen Haynes. I live in Sutton on the railroad right of way. Some other property in the town about that as well. We've been affected. Myself and Eagle Crest Ministries are trying to start a Bible camp, work camp there. And it's been a struggle, and we found out that one of our buildings is 5 feet into the railroad right-of-way, or 5 feet into the 25-foot easement. And what fooled us was that partly with a letter from the borough that said it was okay to do this, the building was required 10 feet, and then it was changed. The other problem is that there are other buildings along that railroad right-of-way that have 10 feet or less. I guess they were grandfathered or some such, including a trailer, a cabin, and a home. And we can't go any further with what we are doing until the land has been straightened out, planted, subdivided with 9 acres going to Eagle Crest, and I'm keeping 2 acres for myself until I die, at which time it will go to Eagle Crest. I'm just reserving a small portion for a permanent home for me until I die. And we can't go anywhere. They cannot get grants, and we have to pay taxes. It's really a frustrating snafu for us, and I imagine it is for other people along the railroad right of way who have either built too close or would like to build a little closer and make full use of their land with only a 10-foot setback. Railroad has 200 or 300 feet of right of way in some sections. That's plenty of room from the railroad tracks and from their operations. I question that another 25 feet is needed, but it's ridiculous, and it's a recent decision for the past, 90 years, 10 feet back was fine, and then all of a sudden we've got to have 25 feet, and this was in the past 10 years or less. I think you need to rethink. I hope you will consider rethinking this. And approve this ordinance.
This does remedy your situation.
It would, very much. Okay. Yes. Completely and totally.
Thank you. Mr. Overby.
Well, I kind of was thrust into this chair by default, but I hope you will consider passing this ordinance. I
speak state your name for the record.
Charles Overby.
On the room.
Oh, Charles. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Charles Overby, and I am on the Eagle Crest board, but so is Sharon Overby and Jordan Grosher, and they're on their way here. Sharon has prepared a very good statement. I thought, well, she'd be here, so I didn't have to. So I'm just kind of like hanging out here. But I know one thing about this ordinance. I really hope you will pass this ordinance to bring that setback issue back to 10 feet. Because it's going to affect not only us, but everybody along the tracks up to Talkeetna and Susan and Cam. That's about all I have to say. But I really hope you will. You know the issue, and if you have any questions, that would be the best thing to do. But I think you folks have studied this issue out already, and it's very vital for us. Eaglecrest, we're just right in the spot of we can't go forward, and this it could determine whether we continue as an outreach for leadership ministry with young people.
Thank you. It's one of my first tours as mayor. No problem. This is Steele.
Just want to comment on Mr. Overby and all you were speaking. You have some relief share already just walked in the door like that.
All right. Okay, does anybody else want to speak to this issue? Please come forward and say your name for the record.
My name is Sharon Aubrey. I'm sorry, didn't get here earlier since I'm young. The ordinance you're considering tonight is a result of your attorney's opinion that is currently amended against the United States Supreme Court and has created hardships for your constituents. Sadly, many are unaware of the changes regarding the railroad right-of-way, which went from a 10-foot to a 25-foot setback requirement at the opinion of your attorney in December 2009. They don't know that their homes and other buildings are now in violation of a new setback requirement that has no grandfather provision. I am here tonight on behalf of Eaglecrest, who has been severely and negatively impacted by this right-of-way change. In our subdividing process, I submit to you proof that your own Division of Public Works and Code Compliance Department recognized that the railroad right-of-way was private and subject to the 10-foot setback provision early in 2009. Since the inception of the borough, railroad property has always been recognized as a private right-of-way subject to a 10-foot setback. That is, until you allowed your attorney's opinion to change the rules in December of 2009, stating that railroad property was public and subject to public right-of-way setbacks. We have tried many attempts to rectify the change, including retaining an attorney and contacting the Alaska Railroad, who, in agreement with us, has written the borough a substantial letter outlining the numerous case laws, even a Supreme Court ruling, which recognizes railroad properties to be considered private property, and thus, according to existing MSD ordinances, is subject to a 10-foot setback anyway. Tonight, I ask you to pass the 10-foot setback requirement along railroad property to help all landowners who have been penalized by the setback change. Furthermore, I ask you to consider accepting the lengthy legal case study presented by the railroad regarding their private property rights and overrule your attorney's unlawful opinion in this matter. You have an obligation to abide by current laws and U.S. Supreme Court decisions. If you choose tonight to overrule your attorney's faulty opinion and acknowledge the Alaska Railroad is private right-of-way, then the assembly negates the need for yet another ordinance and avoids unnecessary future court battles with the Alaska Railroad, which will eventually ensue if you allow his abysmal opinion to stand. But irrespective of whether or not you decide to tackle the issue that started all of this, please provide a 10-foot setback so property owners along the railroad will not be unnecessarily burdened trying to move homes or buildings to be compliant with the new 25-foot setback change. Please do not allow this current financial hardship to remain and further harm your constituents because of one man's flawed opinion and pride. Please return the railroad right-of-way setback to 10 foot. I have for your reference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, please pass it to the clerk and then we'll get
it. Is this the letter from the railroad?
We all got that.
And attached is also the Department of Public Works and the code compliance regarding the subdividing issue that stayed in April 2009 and then again in October, but it was considered private right away.
Yeah, and just for record, I don't think this is us against the attorney, just upsetting policy. I think I've got that right.
I hope so.
Does anybody else want to speak to this issue? If so, please come forward and state your name for the record. I don't see anybody else, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assembly Member Solomon.
Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance number 11-159.
Okay. their discussion, we've had nothing but positive testimony on this from the railroad and the community. Do you remember Keel?
I was speaking strong support of the resolution of the ordinance. What it does is take off the table the issue, it's a very contentious issue, and a legally debatable issue whether the railroad right-of-way is public or private. This remedies that by changing the resolve the issue of the setback to 25 feet versus 10 feet, and it certainly is a remedy to the parcel of property located in Sutton and by Ms. Haynes, addressed by her and Ms. Aubrey and Mr. Ogilvie. So, you know, the passage of this ordinance solves his problem. And I think part of the effort is to do with this rail extension and the issue of right of ways to setbacks to the new right of ways from Port McKenzie to Houston. So that I think that helps that as well. So, again, speaking in support.
Okay. Further discussion? Assemblymember Culver?
Well, this is very enlightening, this whole debate and legal argument about the railroad is a private easement. That might apply in the lower 48 where you got Burlington Northern private corporation, but the state of Alaska owns the railroad. It was federally owned before that, state chartered corporation. I think there's a very open legal issue here that's unresolved, and we're setting policy and we don't really know what the bundle of rights in that right-of-way are. And we better find out, because we have a lot of big decisions hinging on our major project. And, you know, I hear the problems the folks are having tied up with our setback rule. If their building existed prior to the setback, and when is that established? Then their grandfather, period. It's a non-conforming use if it occurred prior to the adoption of the right-of-way setback. But there's a huge issue here that I feel that we need to have an answer to, and that is our attorney. It's a public right-of-way, the railroad's assertion. It's a private easement. This will have a lot of implications for us down the road, and I'd kind of like us to have that answer. I'm okay with a 10-foot setback. I mean, I don't know that you need – it could be a zero setback, because – a lot of times on a rail, and it'd be structured within the right-of-way, like if you go down to the rail yards in Anchorage, you have a lot of structures where they have warehouses and cargo, and the rails slide right up alongside it, so it's actually in the right-of-way. So a building setback is moot and not necessary, because if you have a warehouse and you want to unload off a boxcar, you slide the doors open, you run the forklift out, and you pick up the stuff and back in the warehouse. So it's not a one-size-fits-all application. And so there will be times when we want to allow constructors in the right-of-way. But this is a real fascinating issue, and I think we need an answer. And, you know, I apologize to your constituents, Warren, but we're in the wrap around the axle on a big issue here, and I think we need some... another legal opinion on where this is. And so I would propose that we postpone till February 7th, get an answer, is it a public right-of-way or is it not? If it's a private, that has a whole different set of consequences in how we deal with our own railroad right-of-way we're creating and what bundle of rights we're willing to convey to a private entity. Anyway,
Assemblymember Culver, this was emailed to us earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, but the railroad itself did legal review, and in my opinion, it addressed, well, go ahead, Assemblymember Keel.
Thank you. If I could follow up, honestly, I don't think there's any need for a postponement. I think we can take this forward. As the mayor was referencing, we do have a strong letter of support from the railroad for this. And the issue that you mentioned, which I anticipate there will be about zero possibility of compromise either on the legal counsel for the railroad or legal counsel for the borough on the question of whether or not it's a private right-of-way or a public. I think having reviewed some of the opinions and correspondence back and forth, I think there's a very strong, extraordinarily strong difference of opinion on that of the other. But if you take a close reading of the ordinance, the issue that you raised about setbacks for the railroad, it specifically says that for railroad utilities or railroad structures, there's a zero setback. So for those utilities and those structures necessary by the railroad for the railroad to make it function, That's not an issue, and it kind of avoids the question of private versus public right away. And so the change in the 25-foot setback to the 10-foot setback applies to all other entities other than the railroad. And it, in this case, by design or by accident, remedies the question of the landowner and the structure and such in this one particular case. So I think we're good. I don't see what the issue is here with the problem.
I'm just going to read this paragraph here because it pretty much nails it down. And this is the railroad legal opinion. The traditional and historical views of courts that have considered the issue also support the conclusion that the ARRC right-of-way is not a public right-of-way. Courts, including the United States Supreme Court, have recognized that railroad rights of way do not equate to public rights of way. They quote a legal case on that. Although railroads may in some jurisdictions be considered public highways, that does not mean their rights of way are public. So, I don't know. It seems like
Mr. Mayor.
Member Cole.
You know, even if you had a zero setback from a right-of-way, well, most of those associated rail buildings are in the right-of-way. So this doesn't really fix that problem, because if you're going to develop inside the right-of-way, something, unless it's not in a right-of-way, it's just in a siding and it's attractive land. But I would just ask Mr. Arvin, he's been working on a lot of these rail issues over the years, and what his thoughts on how we need to proceed, in his opinion, if he's tuned into this.
And the member Arvin?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So, I guess, if I could say this first, unless I misunderstood Mr. Keough, I think he may have inadvertently misspoken. The rail-dependent structures would include private enterprise that has a business that is rail dependent. And I think Mr. Keel said that language only applies to the railroad, but I think that is not 100% correct, because you can have private enterprise that has rail dependent structures. But I think a bigger issue is what's going to happen with the real estate for the rail extension out to Port McKenzie, the 200-foot wide easement. And if it's private, then the railroad is going to have forevermore final say on what goes in there, how it goes in there. And I think the borough has vested interest in what that 200-foot wide easement is going to do over the long-term vision with respect to utilities and road potentially and so forth. So I think I'm hearing Mr. Culver's concerns is probably not with respect to trying to solve some issues with some private landowners and structures near and this change from 25 to 10 foot, what that means. And I support solving those problems and going back to 10 feet, but the bigger question is, and I don't think it's something that we can address today, but we need to address, is how are we going to control the borough? How is the borough going to control its interest in a 200-foot foot wide easement going from the Parks Highway to Fort McKenzie and what we might want to see happen there in the long term. Is that really your point, Jim?
And remember, Arvin, I'm going to ask manager to weigh in because we have talked to the railroad about that, and I think that's all negotiable at this point. Mr. Manager?
That was my understanding, and we certainly have a big interest because we have a lot of projects potentially with utilities and with road issues and that sort of thing. We have preserved, and you have preserved as an assembly, quite a large right-of-way. So I guess the question would be is by, with the attorney, is by approving the step back, do we inadvertently say this is a private easement, which gets us into more concerns and reduces our rights and our opportunity for development with our project?
No. What you're doing here is just like with the serial waiver discussion we were having earlier, the comment was made, well, the fix is in Juneau. Well, okay, so our opinion is that it's a public right-of-way. It is owned by an entity of the public, a subdivision of the state, not a municipal subdivision, but a corporation of the state of Alaska owns that property. They are public. It is public. They're saying, we're private. We're never going to resolve that debate. This fixes the issue at hand legislatively by just saying a railroad right-of-way has a 10-foot setback and anything that's rail-dependent could go all the way into it. Because that's the real issue. And the issue came up because nobody ever asked borough council, is it a public or is it a private right-of-way, until 2009.
Assembly Member Foster, Mr. Arbor hit it right in the button. We better have our ducks in a row on what we're going to reserve when we pass, because the railroad's going to get legal title to that rail spur. And we can't reserve a gas pipeline, reserve whatever we want. We're done, yeah. According to their analysis. Right. So
we're quite aware.
Yeah, that's kind of the
The way the state statutes are written, they have virtually complete control over their rights of way. Because I say they're public, does not mean the public can use them.
It's worse than that. They're saying the STB is the only one who can really
regulate them. Right. I mean, nobody would doubt that the land underlying Elmendorf Air Force Base is not, nobody would say that's not public. Of course it's public. It's owned by the United States military. Go try and use it. It's heavily, heavily regulated. So that's a completely separate question. Our concerns over our rail spur going in and how we're going to transfer it and what we're going to try and protect our interests is a separate question than this.
I'd like to ask to withdraw that motion to postpone. This is kind of what I wanted to get at. There's a lot of more discussion here, so
I
appreciate.
Well, at least I didn't hear it as a motion.
Okay. All right. Well, since it's not on the floor, and then I think our retreat on the 29th, we ought to reserve about an hour to look at this issue and kind of frame it and figure out where we want to go with it, because we better know where we're headed before we give away the farm.
And I think, as the attorney was saying, the ordinance that we have before us in no way diminishes our current assertion that the Alaska Railroad right-of-way, whether it's existing or a future right-of-way, this in no way diminishes our position that it's a public right-of-way and not a private right-of-way. And I've spent some considerable time reviewing all the correspondence, and it's been a while, but I frankly reached the conclusion that our attorney has, and some of you, the rest of you around the table has, and that it is a public right-of-way. It is not a private right-of-way. In spite of the very strong and articulate arguments of railroad counsel, I think it's on its face, it doesn't apply. It's a public entity with a public right-of-way. But again, this issue sidesteps that and avoids it, and in no way diminishes our position that the right-of-way is public. So again, I'm in strong support of this ordinance, and I hope that you join me in passing it.
Mr. Mayor,
Assemblymember Arden,
I'd like to call a question.
Okay, the question's been called to close debate. Is there objection to closing debate? There's no objection to closing debate. Is there objection to the ordinance? Hearing none, it passes. Did I have light again?
Kind of got me delivered, or is it talking about here?
Something Mr. Keogh said, he said it was a public corporation with a public right of way. They maintain their public corporation, but they own a private asset. That's kind of what they're saying. I'm not so sure that's not a pretty strong argument. I'm going to just blow it off.
We'll deal with that on the 29th.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Let's move on to Mr. Halter's ordinance, 11-161.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 11-160.
Oh, indeed.
Thank you. An ordinance approving the classification of a portion of borough-owned parcel 16 North 04 West 06D001 in the South Big Lake area as material land.
Okay. Open the public hearing. How do you find out? Thank you. I'll get more information with this. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt Ordinance Seal Number 11-160.
Is there discussion?
I had a question I want to confirm. So the materials used off this is for Fort McKenzie Rail. Is that material also available to private individuals nearby or close, or is it exclusively for the rail? And I'd like some clarification.
Mr. Manager? It's my intention. I met with a private property owner who's looking to develop to bring to have that opportunity for some private gravel, also too, to kind of mitigate any concerns that the local residents may have with this. So before this is put into place, we will be looking to see what we can do to enhance that opportunity for people up there. Okay. Discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. By your consent. Ordinance 11-161, now Madam Clerk.
An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $40,500 from the Westlake Fire Service Area, number 136 fund balance, fund 249, to the Westlake Fire Service Area, number 136, fiscal year 2012, operating budget, fund 249, to reimburse for unexpected expenses incurred as a result of necessary repairs and upgrades.
Has anybody signed up? Nobody signed up. Anybody want to speak to this? I'll open the public hearing. Seeing none, close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Hall.
Thank you, sir. I move to adopt Ordinance Seal Number 11-161 and ask to approve it, please.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there objection? That passes by unanimous consent. Ordinance 11-162.
An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $30,000 from the Butte Fire Service Area Number 2 fund balance, fund 251 to the Butte Fire Service Area Number 2 fiscal year 2012 operating budget, fund 251 for the purchase of necessary equipment.
Okay. Anybody signed up? No. Anybody wish to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keogh.
I move to adopt Ordinance Seal Number 11-162.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes by unanimous consent. Ordinance 11-163.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $6,275 from the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources, Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation to Fund 440, Project Number 15015 for the Mount Kusumo Trail Marketing Project, with Resolution Serial Number 11-160, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the Mount Kusumo Trail Marketing Project, Fund 440, Project Number 15015.
Okay. Is there somebody signed up? No. Okay. By the way, it's a marketing project, not marketing.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Just for the record. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 11-163 and Resolution Serial Number 11-163.
Further discussion? Objection? Hearing on that passes by unanimous consent. Ordinance 11-164.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $22,243 from the State of Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Program to Fund 480, Project Number 45126, for Community Emergency Response Training and Neighborhood Watch Training. Resolution Serial Number 11-161, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Project Number 45126. Fund 480 for Community Emergency Response Team and Neighborhood Watch Training.
Anybody signed up? Nobody signed up. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 11-164 and Accompanying Resolution Serial Number 11-161.
Okay, is there a discussion? Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes by unanimous consent. It's kind of ironic because our legislation tonight is more of a consent agenda than our consent agenda.
Next item is Ordinance Serial Number 11-165, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $13,306.31 from the Alaska Telephone Association, Fund 440, Project Number 20323, for upgrading and enhancing the telecommunications and information services within the Matanuska Consistent in the Library Network.
Well, thank you. Somebody signed up. We will open the public hearing. If anybody wants to speak to this, come forward, state your name. Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Holton. No, this is Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 11-165.
Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, it passes by unanimous consent. 11-166, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $8,000 from the State of Alaska Department of Education to Fund 480, Project Number 20364, for continuing education grants at the Big Lake, Sutton, South Fitness, Pepper Creek, and Willow Public Libraries, with Resolution Number 11-162, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for continuing education grants for the Big Lake, Sutton, South Fitness, Pepper Creek, and Willow Public Libraries.
Okay. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 11-166 and Resolution Serial Number 11-162, and you can approve the breakdowns for various libraries, 5-1. Ask for approval.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you get credit for all this?
Well, I just quite a library guy.
Very good. Is there a discussion? Objection? Hearing none, passed again by unanimous consent. Is that right? We passed everything by
we're sick. Yeah. Sick or instant.
Very good. It's very
request a short recess before we begin.
We can. We will have audience participation and then the consent agenda, which will probably be more time consuming than the public hearing. And for everybody's information, by code, we're required to have public hearings on anything that's an ordinance. And the resolutions are automatically going to the consent agenda. And maybe the attorney could tell us what determines what becomes a resolution and what becomes an ordinance.
Generally speaking, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, there are certain categories of things by state law that must be done by ordinance, such as appropriation of monies. That's why you saw all these ones you saw tonight. Obviously, placing things into the code, acquiring, disposing of interest in property, creating municipal departments, setting the tax levy. A lot of those are the types of things that have to be done by ordinance. And typically, historically, anything that does not have to be done by ordinance is not. It's done by either resolution or just action memorandum. So there's a list in state law of what must be done by ordinance.
Right. An ordinance requires public hearing.
An ordinance requires public hearing, and every regular assembly meeting, every regular or special assembly meeting also requires audience participation.
Sure.
Just a follow-up question on that, to the attorney. Does the assembly have the latitude, or individual assembly members have the latitude, with the knowledge that a resolution, a non-ordinance resolution, if it's an extraordinarily contentious issue, can we have a public hearing on a resolution? Are we able to do that?
Legally, sure. Administratively, you'd have to talk to the clerk's office as to how you would do that.
We're working on that. You're going to see something at the next assembly meeting, and what we'll probably do is follow the City of Palmer, City of Wasilla's template, where right at the front of the meeting, at the setting of the agenda, issues that are in the consent agenda that you know ahead of time are going to be pulled when we announce, then they can be addressed in audience participation. That's a little different from what you were saying, but at least everybody knows what.
Which we are working on?
The big clerk and myself. And I'm following up on the request from the other mayors of the borough. Well, let's take a 10-minute break and then come back for audience participation. We're going to go ahead and open participation. And first on the list is Barney Jamie? Oh, okay. Please state your name for the record, and then next will be James Ross.
Good evening, Mayor DeVillis and Assembly. My name is Jamie Duhamel, and I'm the Outreach Coordinator for the Knox Valley Coalition. I would like to take a couple minutes to provide you with an end-of-year report on the Coalition and our continuing efforts to raise awareness of the potential impacts of the Wishbone Hill Coal Mine Project. Let me start by telling you that as of today, we have almost 2,500 members. This time last year, we had about 100. We anticipate this extraordinary growth and support will continue to rise as we double our efforts to inform the community in the coming year. The Coalition considers the year 2011 to be extremely successful in informing and motivating the populations of Mattoo Valley about Wishbone Hill. We held many public informational meetings, added several new organizations to the Coalition, sent mailers to the voting public, and launched radio advertising. We showed up by the hundreds to public comment meetings, and all totaled, we have submitted thousands of written public comments on Mattoo's coal projects. More important than any of the Coalition's efforts are the exciting new developments the community itself is instigating. They have begun their own efforts of information sharing through compass pieces, letters to the editor, Facebook discussions, and house parties. They are talking to their dentists and doctors, daycare workers, and co-workers. They are becoming bold and informed as more and more research supports our concerns about the impact this industry can have on our homes and our bottom lines. We have shown this last year that we are passionate, concerned taxpayers who will do what it takes to be heard by our own representatives. In fact, at your own public hearing on a pro-coal resolution in September, we had 50 of your constituents sign up to testify against the resolution, compared to 36 who signed up in favor. Those that were allowed to testify begged you to protect them by asking tough questions of an industry with a damaged record. They begged you to find more information from credible sources other than exclusively relying on an industry designed to protect itself with rose-colored glasses. And yet, you still passed the resolution. And now, after all that, we have discovered that UCM has been operating without a legal permit since 1996. We have discovered that their data is old or omitted. Twice, they submitted erroneous air quality data to DEC, and twice, we've been able to prove to DEC that they were trying to pull a fast one. And yet, even as they tell you these things, you refuse to really hear them. You each have something personal to gain from this development that makes you value your self-interest over the best interests of this community. The Mat Valley Coalition is forced to take the steps necessary to protect the public because thus far you have refused to do so. I want to remind you that the greatest responsibility you have been elected to assume is the welfare of this community. We are confounded by your unyielding desire to make as much money as possible at the expense of the public. The actions taken by the Assembly this last year have served to further motivate and inspire the hardworking mothers, fathers, business owners, and property owners of this borough. One by one, we will be reaching out to our neighbors and our friends, our customers, and the businesses where we spend our own money. But most importantly, we vote. In this coming year, perhaps more than any other, we are motivated to make a positive change in a political landscape that has chosen to abandon us. Thank you for your time, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Could you leave a copy of that for the record? Thank you. Just pass it around.
Did we just get a lump of coal for Christmas?
Thank you. James Ross, followed by Terry Holmes.
Mr. Mayor, honorable assembly members, thank you for your time. My name is James Ross. I will start by divulging that I work for J.E. Spain & Sons. I've been in the road maintenance business for 30 years. I've worked for Spain & Sons and worked cooperatively with the borough for 9 years. But I am, as well, a resident of the borough, and more importantly, a taxpayer. My concern is in the lack of enforcement with the borough road maintenance contracts, as well as what I believe is unfair and unequal treatment of the contractors and standards set forth for the contractors. I have been documenting the enforcement and administration of the contract for 3 years and have actively been pursuing a fair and equal standard for all contractors for a year. I don't feel I have succeeded yet. I question how the company I work for can continue to operate when the borough continually allows poor performing contractors to continue to do business, collect a paycheck, and bid more areas and jobs, when by the borough's own documentation, they do not perform to the standards expected by the borough or the public. I understand that every time they overlook the poor performance, that contractor gets a financial advantage over the contractor that is expending the salaries, fuel, and maintenance to do the job. With no consequences, so what's the incentive to do a good job? I feel the assembly needs to take action, and I hope they would encourage evaluations of the contractors, possibly a merit system or preferential bidding for contractors to perform within the contract. I also encourage you to find out how it's gotten to this point, as it's been going on for way too long and has to be corrected for the safety of the public and the well-being of the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary, followed by Mulkey, two.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and assembly members. My name is Terry Holmes, and I lived in the Mattsue Valley for 17 and a half years and 14 and a half years on East Foxtrot Avenue. I am here tonight because I am fed up as a taxpayer. We are not getting what we were paying for in our road maintenance. Since mid-November, I have taken it upon myself to get informed. I have a contract for RSA 25, which is where I reside. And I've met with the borough manager, John Lucy, director of public works, John O'Neill, and assembly members, Steve Culligan, Jim Colver, Ron Arvin, Noel Woods, and Warren Keogh, mostly by email. I would like to know who is holding the contractor twos accountable to the contract. I have requested all letters of non-compliance for the contractor twos, and I think each of you have copies in front of you, or given copies to them. Twos has 13 letters of non-compliance since April 20th, 2011. That includes RSA 27, which apparently they gave up after getting three letters of non-compliance in that area. Currently, there are three letters of non-compliance in RSA 25 and RSA 16. What is being done about this? According to the contract, section 9.3, after three letters of non-compliance within a 12-month period, the borough may consider termination of the agreement for cause. I hope that that wording gets changed before the next contracts are signed. A contractor receives, so it also goes on to say, a contractor receives three letters of non-compliance, that receives three letters of non-compliance in a 12-month period, may be suspended or debarred from bidding on any future road maintenance contracts in accordance with MSB 3.08.235. Why does the contractor 2s have four contracts right now with the borough? On the borough website, under winter road maintenance, the first sentence says, the borough's main priority during the winter is to ensure that the roads which are certified for maintenance are safe to use. I hope the borough is not overlooking public safety to choose the contractor with the lowest bid. It also says, for winter maintenance, it is important to know how the borough prioritizes the contractor's work. General priorities for snow removal are school roads first, primary collector roads second, subdivision and secondary roads third. Again, I ask, who is holding the contractor two accountable to the contract? I also applied to be a member number three on voter at RSA 25.
Please wrap it up.
As a taxpayer and resident of RSA 25, I would appreciate better communication from the borough in regards to my complaints. I just wanted to ask if anybody had any questions.
I do thank you for all the documentation that we got. I've read it, and I see there's others speaking that this is in the process of review. The government works slower than other entities in this world.
I'm finding that
sometimes that's good. But it is being dealt with.
Okay, but not at the expense of public safety.
We hope not.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Two, followed by Rick Abel.
I'll decline to speak this evening.
Okay. Rick Abel. Followed by Charlotte Stain. State your name for the record.
Richard Redney. I received a letter last week. Yes.
Could you give your tax information to the clerk that's sitting in the back so we can follow up?
Mr. Mayor?
There's nobody back there. Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Abel is on the list of waivers for senior citizens and disabled veterans tonight.
Oh, okay.
So I think his issue will be taken care of, presuming that that passes under the consent agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
Which means
we'll be dealing with it later tonight.
Later tonight?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I can go home.
You can, if you don't want to see what's going to happen.
I'm overwhelmed.
It'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
No, we'll take care of it for you.
Well, that's not always the best thing to believe from government. But we are going to address it tonight.
Well, thank you. I hope I show your numbers.
Thank you for
coming down. Charlotte, followed by Andy Whalen.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly, thank you for your time. My name is Charlotte Spain, and I have a vested interest in J.A. Spain & Sons. We currently maintain three of the road service areas in the Matthew Borough. This year we rebid one of the areas, and at the pre-bid we discussed past problems, which included the enforcement of the contract and the way the contracts are written. The operation and maintenance staff assured all of the contractors that were present at that pre-bid that the new staff on the board, with the new staff on board, that the contract would be equally administered. And what had taken place in the past would no longer be acceptable. Also, it was understood that contractors holding contracts would follow the intent of the contract, that being public safety. The consensus was that the operations maintenance staff would work as one, and all contracts would be enforced by the intent that they were written. As to date, I don't feel there's been any change in that. So I would like to ask the clerk to make copies of this document and present it to the mayor and the members for review. And that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Andy, followed by Jim Northcroft.
Mayor, manager, members of the assembly. My name is Andy Wyman. I'm on the road service area 16 South Colony Board of Supervisors. I joined the board last winter out of frustration due to poor performance and a lack of maintenance. I'm here this evening to ask for your help to ensure public safety and contract compliance. This level of maintenance is continuing this winter. We need accountability in the operations and maintenance division of the Matsu Borough. I feel that Matsu Borough is on borrowed time with these issues and avoiding a major lawsuit with a major accident or even death. That's all I have.
Thank you. And thanks for serving on our board. Mr. Norcross.
My name is Jim Norcross. Well, road service area 20, assembly member, who's from here. I'm tired of being here, as you're tired of seeing me, I'm spoken, I'm sure. I guess I got the same problem that everybody else has. I've been waiting for my contractor to call me and ask me to notify him when he got his third letter of non-compliance and he goes to work. And he hasn't done so yet, but if he does, well, that's when the fight will start. But in any case, I would, and I don't know now these contracts are in place. Is it three letters? Is it four letters? Is it maybe more? I don't know. And I hope you can arrive at a solution to that. But I would like to bring everybody's attention, especially the O&M division and the public works director, the manager, and the assembly. If you reference the road service operations manual, chapter 5, or 15, it spells out the duties and responsibilities of the RSA supervisors, and it's very clear. Then you go to 16, and it's the duties and responsibilities of the RSA superintendent. And if those two don't work in concert, nothing is going to get done. You're wasting the resources of road service areas. And due to contrary opinions of some people, I think they serve a useful purpose to the taxpayer. And that's about as close as you're going to get to local representation. And if you take that away, you really don't have any control of your funds, your projects, or what the public gets done, and that affects public safety. The last one, go to 17, is the duties and responsibilities of the assembly. And if you haven't read it, I wish you would read it, please. And lend some credence to what we're doing. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Norcross, I appreciate all your service for year after year, roads. Question for you. So all road service areas have basically the same template for contracts?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
The special provisions are pretty much the same now. They uniformed them for about 3 years.
Okay. My question is, I was reviewing a contract today, and it used to be that school bus routes were priority one, and I didn't, it's not in there anymore. It was more respond when there's 4-inch accumulation. Can you address that issue? Is that something we need to go back and revisit and have them done first?
I think the school bus routes are still in there. I'd have to revert to Mr. Lacko, my road superintendent, but the last time I read the contract, they were, but I don't read the contract every day.
The one we're looking at is a copy of the one for 25, and I don't know when it was adopted, but
I'm not sure that was all of the contract.
Okay, well, anyway, that would be a question then. If you don't know the answer, that the administration, that's really important that we, because I noticed around North Palm or Wasilla areas in 16 that the school bus routes have not been cleared in the mornings. And so, and that always used to be the case. So I'm just curious as to why not, and if it's not, let's deal with it.
Through the mayor, Mr. Colbert, take a look at the special provisions clause. It may be covered in special provisions.
We'll have staff.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Do you want to come up and state your name? And
my name's Doug Lang. I'm the road maintenance superintendent, too. I think most of you know me. Jim, it is in there. What you have to look at versus the definitions. The definitions is there's of a primary and secondary road, and then the primary roads are not to be done in the morning, but to be done in a 12-hour period. And the secondary roads, the primary roads are defined as bus routes and arterials, which we really don't do any arterials. And then the secondary roads are basically everything else, which has 24-hour period, and that's to be opened up to two-lane traffic, which is defined as 16 feet wide. Then there's other timelines that govern when they have to get everything pushed back farther. But they are in there.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to move
what's the snowfall gap that triggers?
4 inches.
4 inches.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. The pavement, gravel, everything, 4 inches, except for Mike, I believe, isn't it?
In
30, they voted a few years ago to make it 6 inches, just because they're limited on funds up there. So everywhere else is 4 inches.
Thank you. Next, Steve Renner, followed by Brian Kendall.
Good evening, gentlemen of the board, the assembly, the mayor. Good to see you here. It's always good to be here. I'm speaking on behalf of the resolution regarding House Bill 88, and which is basically regarding individuals' rights under the Constitution of the State of Alaska, the United States. Just quickly, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I moved up here in 1974. I thought it was the greatest place on earth. I still feel the same way about it. Some of the things I liked about it was the people and the ideology of the people. And I still feel that this day. But the difference today, we've got, what, approximately 85,000 people now out here in the borough. There were that many people in Anchorage when I first got here. So that means we've got that many more ideas about how to do things, about how to run our business. And we have cultures coming in now into our state that back then they weren't here. So every different ideology presents a different set of challenges. But I want to remind you all here, and I'm sure you all feel that way, the Constitution of the United States is the most unique document on the face of the earth regarding individual rights. And nobody has even come close to attaining the results that we have in this country on individual rights. And all you have to do is look at the fact that do we really have an immigration problem in the United States? No, we have an immigration issue. So as we go into the legislative session, some of these rights in the future may be challenged, but our Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, is not flexible in any way, shape, or form. We need to support those rights that were given to us by a higher being and cannot be taken away. And my concern here tonight is the rights of the individuals, and I'm talking about women, because those rights are going to be challenged more and more so in our society today. I won't get into specifics on it. I'd be glad to share some ideas I have there, some knowledge about it. But I want to keep our Constitution intact. And I just don't believe that, based on my experience up here, now is the time to make any changes. And we will be challenged with many an idea to change that Constitution, to bend it and twist it. But individual rights is the key granted to us from a higher being. So thank you. And one other thing, it's always a pleasure to be in an assembly where we honor the right to assemble. Even though our ideas may vary, for me, it's great to be here. So thank you all here.
Yeah, please state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Steve Renner. I live up in the Soapstone area since 1974.
And 88 is the Sharia law?
It does not say specifically Sharia law, but we will be
referred to.
But well, it's all individual challenges. Because there's a lot of laws that we're going to be challenged with in the future from different ideologies. Sharia law happens to be one of them.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with that, I can recommend some reading material. I mean, you know, I really didn't pay any attention to this. I was a student of history. And I didn't pay any attention to it until 9/11. And then I kind of figured, you know what, I need to know a little bit more about it, just so that I'm not just, there are some things going on that we do need to know about. And I challenge everybody to just dig into that one a little bit, okay?
I have been. Thank you. Next is Brian, followed by Don Zimmerman.
Mr. Mayor, first of the assembly, it's a pleasure being here. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I wanted to just talk briefly about, my name is Brian Hendel, for the record, Ian Healy. I'm president of the Moose Creek Soapstone Community Council. I'm speaking for myself, though. Just wanted to speak briefly on 11-1-7, I think it is. Mr. Mayor, I think that was the one that you brought. Is that the right number?
Is that the community council definition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea. It gives the landowners a right to vote. If I was a landowner and had extra property, I would want to be able to vote on what happens to that property. I like the idea that it's flexible and the community has the ability to implement it as it chooses. I appreciate that the ordinance was delayed also to give us a chance to put before our community council, and I'll work to bring that in front of them.
Thank you, and thanks for your service.
I meant to ask Mr. Norcross how many years you've been a road supervisor. I want to hear.
Sir?
I can document at least. I said it must have been. Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, I'm here to speak on the issue.
Don
Zimmerman, my name is Don Zimmerman. I'm going to speak on HB 88. Basically, the Constitution, you know, is kind of one of those names that kind of makes people nervous these days, especially politicians and attorneys and that kind of thing. But it is the very document that gives us the right to sit here today, and it gives us the liberties. And I think people have been quiet too long, and we've allowed the bigger governments to determine and change and to manipulate the laws. And we have outside forces coming in, Sharia law, United Nations, I mean, you can name different ones. Basically, we just want to establish that the United States Constitution is the law of the land, and that's going to remain the law of the land, and that's what we go by. So I just urge you guys that we give a clear, decisive, quick answer to or response to the state that we are in support of it. And I would like to even go to the city of Wasilla, the community councils, have each one of them, because it needs to come from the ground up and let these guys know that we will not stand for anything other than the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Not sure, but I think Wasilla already done a resolution on that. And I intend to bring one to this body too. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? That's all that's signed up. Seeing and hearing none, we will close audience participation and move to our so-called consent agenda. Madam Clerk, will you read it into the record?
Under the consent agenda this evening, we have resolution for your motion, a resolution supporting House Bill 88 regarding an individual's right under the Constitution of the State of Alaska and the United States Constitution. Resolution 11165, a resolution recognizing the social and economic importance of the Palmer Branch of the Alaska and encouraging the reconstruction of the Palmer Branch to enhance its services to the Palmer area. Action Memorandum 11-196, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizens and disabled veterans exemption applications. AM number 11-107, approval of change order number 1 to R&M consultants in the amount of $175,081 for the Horseshoe Lake Road Upgrade Design Project. AM number 11-110, approval of change order number 1 to Tooth Inc. in the amount of $20,557.36 to allow additional work due to field directives and driveway borrow quantities for the Sunshine Drive Reconstruction Project, project number 30043.
Thank you. Does anybody want to pull up anything from the consent agenda? Assembly member Peel.
I'd like to pull the resolution A and B. Resolution A is serial number 11-164 and B is serial number
165. Okay. Are we going to have anything left on the consent agenda? Assembly member Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. AM 11-017, the change order.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. There's Assemblymember Solomon, would you move to the rest of the consent agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk, except for the items that were pulled.
Okay. That means that item action memorandum A and C will pass with no objection. And we come back to resolution 11-164. And Mr. Abel, your exemption was just approved, so you can go home and rest that piece. Yeah.
Thank you for the heads up on the fireworks.
I'm a little bunker down that night.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you.
Assembly Member Keogh, would you move 11-164?
I move to adopt resolution serial number 11-164.
You want to speak to it?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Assembly Member Harvin.
Yeah, so the consent agenda, except for the items that were pulled, was moved, but if you take action, what's the new procedure here? We're going to take the other ones up, and then what's different than now than before?
Right now, we're trying to not make a big change because Monty's not here. Right, what we have done so far is by non-objection approved AM 11-106 and 11-110.
Okay, thank you.
Everything else has been pulled.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I just must have missed that.
Yeah, it goes by pretty fast. Assembly Member Keogh has moved 11-164. You may speak to it.
Yeah, thank you. I read the resolution. I did not have time to read House Bill 88, and so I have no idea what it includes other than the title of the bill and whatever brief comments are attached to this two-page resolution. It looks fine to me, but I would ask that we postpone this to the next meeting so we can have a chance to, or either have a chance to read House Bill 88 and see what it says. And I would also offer a suggestion when we bring resolutions like this forward, that references a document that it be included in the packet, so we know what we're voting on. As a general matter, irrespective of the issue, I find it hard and not impossible, and I think I rarely have ever used a vote for an item that I haven't specifically read. So, I ask for a postponement of date certain, which would be our January 17th meeting, which would allow us to have the opportunity to read House Bill 88.
Those are publicly posted online. But there is a motion to postpone time certain January 17th, you said?
I think that's our next regular meeting.
I thought we had one January. I guess not. Yeah, you can speak to the motion to postpone.
Yeah, one of the reasons for postponement is, as well as there, I mean, the House, the Alaska House and Senate is not convened until, I think, that very week, so I don't think there's any, strong urgency, but I'm not sure when it will be taken up, if at all, but we have about several months ago, so I would ask my fellow Assembly members to give us all a chance to read House Bill 88.
Okay. Member Culligan, do you want to speak to?
I'd encourage us to deal with this tonight. I can read the half a page House Bill 88 to you or the like, and I thought it was going to be part of the attachment. It's very, very clear and simple. But I'm going to be voting no to the amendment and look forward to immediately after that discussing this. Thank you.
Okay. So there's objection to the motion to postpone. Is there objection to closing debate and voting on the motion to postpone? Hearing none. Madam Clerk.
Assembly Member Keogh?
Yes.
Assembly Member Woods?
No.
Assembly Member Culligan?
No.
Assembly Member Salmon?
No.
Assembly Member Colbert?
No.
Assembly Member Halter?
No.
Assembly Member Arvin?
No.
Motion to postpone fails with Assembly Member Keogh in favor.
Okay, Member Culligan, would you please read it to
me? Okay, thank you, and I'd like to talk to this issue.
So House Bill 88 very simply reads, an act prohibiting a court, arbitrator, mediator, administrative agency, or enforcement authority for applying a law, rule, or provision or agreement that violates an individual's rights under the Constitution of the State of Alaska or the United States Constitution. Be it enacted by the legislature of the State of Alaska, the uncodified law of the State of Alaska is amended by adding the new section to read. Findings. The legislature finds a citizen and the state of Alaska should be protected from the application of a foreign law if the application of foreign law would violate the individual's right guaranteed by the Constitution of the State of Alaska or the United States Constitution. Section 2, foreign law prohibited. A court, arbitrator, mediator, basically definitions, administrative agency, enforcement agency may not apply a foreign law if the application of foreign law would violate an individual's right of guarantee by the Constitution of the State of Alaska, United States Constitution. If an agreement included a choice of law provision requiring law to govern its interpretation of the resolution disputed between the parties to the agreement, and if the interpretation of the enforcement of the agreement would violate an individual's right to guarantee the Constitution of the State of Alaska or the United States Constitution, the agreement must be modified or amended necessary to preserve the constitutional right. An agreement that may not be modified or amended in order to preserve the constitutional right individual under this section is void. There are several other sections of definitions, but the other sections, as a paraphrase, apply to this law, applying to our native rights and stuff that more broaden or enhance the Constitution rather than restrict. I brought this forward after being sworn in after the election, when I was sworn to an oath of the U.S. Constitution, the state constitution, and borough codes. And it was oddly enough that nationwide there is a move afoot for political correctness to allow for other foreign courts. And at first I thought it was, you know, kind of bizarre and unbelievable, but the reality is it is reality. There is efforts afoot to, in political correctness, recognize other laws, not U.S. laws. I am the son, grandson of Irish and German immigrants. I employ German immigrant employees who love to be in America, but follow our laws, our Constitution. And there's a move afoot by people that don't like us to imply their own laws. And they're not religious. They're ideologies and laws that don't respect the rights of women to vote, have the same representation in court, and in certain cases the taking of life and others are justified. And this is merely a support and a statement for at least the state of Alaska to take the protections that those are the laws of our land. If you come to live in the state of Alaska as a U.S. citizen, you will abide by those same laws that we were sworn to oath. It's very simple. It's not discriminatory of one religion or other one over the other. It simply states that we believe that the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the state constitution are the laws of the land, and that if you're going to come live in this country, you will abide by those and respect others under those same rights. To me, it's very simple. I'd like to send a message to the legislature before the legislature starts and encourage other people to do the same. This is not dramatic. It's a reality, and we have problems. Europe has huge problems with several hundred Sharia courts being set up where people are exempt from their constitution and laws in their own courts. If you're going to be in America, if you're going to be in Alaska, you will live by our laws.
Amen.
This is not something that we're doing in isolation. There's a number of states doing that.
And with that, I would ask for your support. And Mr. Keogh, I firmly respect, and I'm sorry that it wasn't attached, but it's really a very simple piece of paper, and I can hand you my notebook if you want to read it, but I'd ask for your support tonight. And go from there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any member Keogh?
If we're going to... Again, I just like to state my hesitancy to vote for something that I support something I haven't read, but I guess I have a couple of questions here. You speak to the evidence of the application of foreign law. Is there evidence, what evidence is there that that's happening in this country? Because I'm
not as well read as I thought I was, but I haven't heard of that one. And I haven't heard of that at all. And I would further comment that, like you, actually took the words out of my mouth. Each one of us, when we're sworn in here, we stood up a whole bunch of three things: the Borough Code, the Constitution of the State of Alaska, and the Constitution of the United States. And I'm no constitutional scholar, but I don't think there's any leeway in the United States Constitution for us to have foreign laws applied to our justice system or our legislature. Maybe I'm naive. I don't get it.
Through the mayor to Mr. Keogh, there are several states having issues. This is, I'll start in the back. In Europe, this has been rampant, and there are 200 and some courts set up for Sharia law. In the U.S., New York, and all the problems with the mosques and the like being set up, and exclusions of laws and stuff inside their religious temples and other things, there are several murders and court cases that were thrown out and other judgments set aside due to either ideology or religious preference. I'm happy to get the details, but the reality is it is happening. New York and several other states already, there's been incidences, and most states are scrambling to shore up and make sure that it's not adopted and not allowed in the United States, and to force our federal courts to take action.
To remember for reasons that I hold to be self-evident, I move to close discussion and vote.
I've never heard that
if there has been is there objection to closing debate?
Objection. I have another comment or two.
Okay, then we'll vote on whether to close debate. Madam Clerk, I guess close the debate. No, keeps the debate open.
Assemblymember Keogh?
No.
Assemblymember Wood?
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan?
Yes.
Assemblymember Sanham?
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver?
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter?
Yes.
Assemblymember Arlington?
Yes.
Mayor, the motion to end debate passes. So
okay.
Ended with Assemblymember Keogh opposed.
Okay, the question is before us. Please vote. A yes supports this resolution supporting House Bill 88. Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keogh?
No.
Assemblymember Wood?
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan?
Yes.
Assemblymember Sanham?
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver?
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter?
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yes.
Assemblymember Keogh, please move 11-165. Two more.
That was about resolution serial number 11-165. Speak to that.
You mean?
Through the mayor, to the attorney, I have a question of potential conflict of interest. I have a son who's an engineer on the Alaska Rail, and happy to step out of the room on this address.
Can we have a pause?
Yeah, let's take that at ease while you go.
January 1st, 2012, Health and Social Services Board resignation of Jane Conrad, Local Emergency Planning Committee, Lance Wilson, term to begin January 1st, 2012, Greater Talkeetna Road Service Area Number 29, George Wagner, term begins January 1st, 2012.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Thank you. I appreciate your concurrence. We are ready for the reconsideration. So, Madam Clerk, would you read that, please?
I think the attorney would.
Oh, Mr. Attorney.
Take a brief.
Attorney needs 5 minutes.
Yeah, Ms. Thomas is still here. She's upstairs working away.
On this? Oh, okay. Let's take 5 minutes. Let's give it.
5 minutes break so we can close the
The
first term here is to whether or not to support the motion to reconsider. It has nothing to do with legislation. No. If you want to take this up again, you have to vote yes on the motion to reconsider. Is that right, Madam? So, is there a discussion before we vote on the motion to reconsider? Assemblymember Culligan.
I think there are a few points that I would like to support reconsider, just some minor changes, maybe a few comments from staff.
Are you
supporting
the motion to reconsider? Yes. Assemblymember Woods, would you make the motion to reconsider first?
I move to reconsider ordinance serial number 11-153.
Okay, now discussion is in order. Assemblymember
I was not available that night for the entire discussion, but it was put on the table to continue that night. There was a motion to postpone, which was rejected, and it continued and took right into the night to the town that he did pass this. And when I read the reasoning for the reconsideration that Mr. Wood put forward, it was because he felt that he wanted to see it in its completed form, and that was good rationale. I don't feel that that opened the door to change what you'd already done. Now that you have it in completed form, did it read what you passed? If it did read, in fact, what you passed that night, then that should stand and the reconsideration should be rejected.
May I speak to that?
You may speak to that.
What we got was an inclusive of all the things that were deleted and new put in. It was not a clean copy of what we passed, in other words. It included everything we deleted, all the extra pages and everything. So I strongly recommend reconsideration. And I think most of what I have here is technical considerations in a couple of cases, just places where I think errors were made, but that's up to you people. So.
Okay, Assemblymember Cole.
There's only really one inconsistency in the ordinance, and it has to do with the the amount of material. Fourth growing season, we changed, you had to reclaim by the fourth growing season, and there's one place in here where it still says second, but that's really a fix that law and the clerk can make to make it conform with the intent of our other motion. So it's not, we don't have to open it up. I think we're there. I mean, these things can totally change again. We start bringing it open, and, you know, when we do things like these big omnibus acts, you can't please 10 out of 10 people, you know, but we would have had them howling here tonight if there's anything substantially wrong. I think by the action and the timeline, there's, you know, some folks that want a few little tweaks here, tweaks there, but in the end of the day, is it necessary? I mean, I think we've achieved what it was about. It wasn't about rewriting the gravel ordinance. It was about reclamation and mining in the water table. So we should kind of stick to that. And so I don't really think that we need to revisit it, and because I'm just afraid that all the hard work we put into it, we start unraveling it. And I don't think that that's really what we intended. I thought we pretty much got it. So, but whatever way you want to go, that's what we do here. So, and I want to go home. So.
Question is, shall Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, I applaud Mr. Woods for bringing this forward for reconsideration. There was, as the members might recall, that evening, you had to recuse yourself, Mr. Mayor. I was prepared to speak to a lot of issues. I ended up taking and chairing the meeting, and there were a couple things that did not get addressed very clearly. And one, as Mr. Colbert just mentioned, is mining in the water table. It was my intention, and I believed, that with respect to the exemption of those under 2,000 cubic yards, that the exemption held, but unless you went into the water table, and it's not in the legislation, and that's something that I want to address tonight. So I'll be supporting the reconsideration.
Okay. And I'm assuming that I can chair the vote on the reconsideration before considering the next issue. So there is objection to reconsideration. So if there's no objection, we'll close debate. And then, Madam Clerk, you can take the vote.
Assemblymember Keel.
Yes.
Assemblymember Wood.
This is for reconsideration. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Colbert.
No.
Assemblymember Holter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion to reconsider passed with Assemblymember Colbert opposed, so it's documents before you.
Okay.
I've got an amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I believe that although the 2,000-yard exemption isn't on the table as far as I know, because I recused myself last time, I should do so again because it could come up again. And so
I'm going to move to amend it.
I'm going to. Okay, well, for sure I got to leave then. I'm going to pass the gavel to Assemblymember Song.
It's been a long time. The ring.
All right, and that's before us then. The ordinance here, number 11-153, is open from reconsideration. And at first, I'm going to recognize Mr. Arvin, who's been speaking. And then I'll come back to Mr. Halter, who also has some amendments. So, Mr. Arvin, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon. So, I move an amendment under item G, under reclamation, in accordance with 1728.063. Item G says extraction of 2,000 cubic yards or less annually on any one parcel does not require an administrative or conditional use permit, period. I would like to add, where a site is exempt under this subsection, the exemption is revoked if operations proceed within 4 feet of the seasonal high water table.
That's the second page.
He's under item G for extraction of 2,000 cubic yards. I got on this new thing highlighted in red.
The actual packet.
I do not.
It's the second page of this handout.
Yes. And it says almost precisely that language. It's under G.
Page 12. If Mr. Arvin would accept it, I'd move a secondary amendment.
Is that on the floor?
Mr. Arvin's amendment is on the floor.
Thank you.
I want a secondary on that subsection G to change 2,000 cubic yards to 1,000 cubic yards. In addition, I see the exemption that Mr. Arvin is talking about.
Is everyone clear on that? G initially read extraction of 2,000 cubic yards or less annually on any one parcel does not require an administrative or conditional use permit. Stopping there, Mr. Halter's secondary amendment is to change 2,000 to 1,000 cubic yards.
I object.
Mr. Colbert, then Mr. Wood.
Yeah, I object. I mean, this is why I voted against reconsideration. Now we're getting into setting more policy. Here's the deal. If I'm out at Chickaloon or I am in Trapper Creek and I want a small contractor to build me a road or what have you to improve my property, or my neighbor wants to do that, or one of our borough residents, they need material to work with, and construction costs and earth moving is how far you truck it. The trucking costs way more than the material nowadays. in excess of over $100 an hour, and then you've still got to haul the equipment in there and in and out. So I think what this does is allow our more remote areas to develop as economically as possible, except where you have to have some special manufactured materials, certain kinds of septic rock, or those other products. So I look at this as very important for our smaller contractors, for our homeowners, for our borough residents. It's, so I would speak in opposition. Let's keep it at 2,000. It's been at 2,000 for, was before we adopted this last go-around here, we had 2,000. So we'd actually be making it more restrictive on people. And we are, because now we're adding the proposed primary is dealing with a water table. So let's keep it at 2,000 and then deal with the rest of it.
Mr. Wood, speaking of the secondary amendment.
Extraction of 2,000 cubic feet allows anything up to that and within reason probably goes a little beyond that. If you make it too restrictive, it's extremely difficult for a small pit operator to keep track day by day of what's coming and going, and just small quantities like that for driveways or things. And I think that's really too small.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Harper?
Well, to me, it's kind of a fairness issue. You've got people that say over 2,000 cubic yards, you've got to get a permit. And all the testimony, whatever, is $15,000 in that neighborhood. To me, it's kind of a, so if somebody now, 2,500 cubic yards, has got to go in and spend a considerable amount of money to operate, and that's not a very big operator. So I just thought it was a fairness, you know, there's some people who want to get 1,000 cubic yards, or they shouldn't be permitted. Last week we were talking about going all the way to zero, which means everybody would have to get a permit. So I don't know if I agree with that, but to me it's kind of a fairness issue, though. Why do certain people with a fairly small permit have to be permitted to spend thousands of dollars, or somebody pretty close, a few hundred cubic yards or less, or something like that, doesn't have to pay that? So that's my thought there, was why it's been under 1,000, just kind of a fairness issue. And people had to spend a lot of money through the title, under the early title, even though we're loosened up a little bit. So just kind of fairness.
Okay, then are we ready to vote on the 1,000 cubic yard question? Hearing none, we'll close that debate. Madam Clerk?
Assembly Member Keough?
Yes.
Assembly Member Wood?
This is
on the amendment. The change from 2,000 to 1,000. A yes vote changes it.
Thank you. No.
Assembly Member Culligan?
No.
Assembly Member Salmon?
No.
Assembly Member Colbert?
No.
Assembly Member Hopper?
Yes.
Assembly Member Arden?
No.
Okay. Mr. Deputy Mayor, that motion fails with Assembly Members Keough and Poulter in favor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We're back to the main amendment, which is to continue with item G and adding the language. Do you have that written down, ma'am? You want to read it to us?
Extraction of 2,000 cubic yards or less annually on any one parcel does not require an administrative or conditional use permit, or a site is exempt under this subsection. The exemption is revoked if operations proceed within 4 feet of the seasonal high water table.
Is that your language, Mr. Arvin?
Yes, sir, it is. If there is a period, that's a separate sentence. There's a period after the word permit.
Sure. All right, then. Is there further discussion on this amendment? Is there any objection to this amendment? I'm sorry, Mr. Colbert.
I just thought maybe, you know, you don't always know exactly where the water table is. So I was just thinking perhaps inserting after operations, if operations intentionally proceed within 4 feet of the water table.
So the amendment,
if they went down too deep, they could always come back and fill it back up and say, okay, we didn't know we were getting that close, and then you knew where it was at. So, I don't know. I mean, it's...
6.5
Well, I would ask the attorney for his advice on that. We don't want to, you know, say you're...
enforcing to say that, well, if it was unintentional, it's okay, but you have, if you intended to go within 4 feet, it's not, would be a nightmare to enforce.
I'll leave it alone then. I'm not going to worry about it.
Any objection to that amendment? Hearing none, the amendment passes. Mr. Halter, do you have another?
I want to throw out the entire ordinance, 011-153. I want to delete the words prior non-conforming, prior pre-existing legal non-conforming status, and insert prior prescriptive extraction rights. Go from the negative to the positive. So whenever you see those words, I want to delete them.
We have a definition.
It doesn't really mean much. In fact, it just says you have prior extraction rights.
Read that motion as intended here for us so we can agree upon it.
Throughout the document, Assemblymember Halter moves to strike pre-existing legal non-conforming and insert
prior prescriptive extraction rights.
Prior prescriptive extraction rights.
Mr.
Solomon. Yes, sir, Mr. Irwin.
That's why we have a judge on the assembly. But I guess I've got a question for the attorney. I like what Mr. Halter is proposing, but it remains true that we have operators with documents that they are operating under titled pre-existing non-conforming. So if we take that language out of code, they don't have a document that says prior prescriptive. So I'm wondering what the connectivity would be for the future. Because presumably, not everybody will switch from non-conforming to IMD.
Mr. Attorney,
my recommendation, it sounds like from the maker's intent that you don't mean to change the legal definition of what you're doing, you just want to change it from pre-existing legal non-conforming rights, which is a term of art, to prior prescriptive extraction rights. So if we have the make sure that in the minutes, because they're taking action minutes these days, not full minutes, that it is clearly recorded that the intent of this ordinance is to substitute a like term for the phrase pre-existing legal non-conforming rights, then you can call it hoogly boogly boo, and it won't matter. As long as it is very clearly noted in the permanent record for all time, that so in 15 years from now, somebody looks back and goes, what does this thing mean? We've got an answer, because we can go into the treatises and I can tell you exactly what pre-existing legal non-conforming rights is. It's a well-known land use term.
Yes.
Absolutely. That is the term of art. That is the term used in all the cases, all the journals, all the treatises on when you were there before the land use law, and you get to keep going. It's pre-existing legal non-conforming rights. So as long as the record is clear that that's your intent, is to maintain the concept of that term, but just call it something different. So.
Motion to withdrawn. Is there any other action before we vote? I'm sorry?
Any objection to withdrawing?
He
just
withdrawn
if he made it,
doesn't
he? No, he wasn't. Any objection to withdrawing the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment stands withdrawn. Are we prepared to vote on the amendment as the ordinance as amended?
We have an amendment, Ms. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Under angle of repose on page 30 of 35 here. If we read there the angle of repose means the steepest angle material can be piled without slumping.
Letter D in the reclamation plan, no. The natural stabilized angle of repose of the existing roof material?
Yes.
That's what I have in bright red.
Yeah. Yes. The natural stabilized angle of repose of the existing earth material? Yes. That would be the angle of repose.
Motion before us then is under D of the portion reclamation plan that the slopes shall be graded to attain a maximum of 50% slope, adding or the natural stabilized angle of repose of the existing earth material.
Where's that inserted at?
Do you have the new handout?
1720-067.
Page 8 of the whole ordinance.
Does everyone know where it's at now? It's in the new handout that Noel gave us.
Part B, right there.
It's in bright red.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Double underlined. About 7 pages in.
Here. Page 8 of both the ordinance and the handout.
Okay.
Any discussion?
The angle of repose is, in terms of dirt work, is a 1.5 to 1. For every foot down, it's a foot and a half. Well, 2 to 1 is more than. It's usually dirt falls at what we call 1.5 to 1.
But this is written 2 to 1 without the addendum for the amendment.
So, yeah, we're steepening up a 2 to 1 slope from to a 1.5 to 1 is what we're doing.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
I think what this allows is so that for gravel, the natural slope is different than the natural slope of the overburden or the topsoil, which is at less of an angle. This allows them put some definition to the fact of the natural slope of topsoil or overburden that would be for reclamation.
I don't know. The problem with the 1.5 to 1 slope, you can't hardly climb up it when it's loose. And so we've changed it. It's not all topsoil and going to pack down. I've scrambled up a lot of slopes, and a 1.5 to 1, especially with big bones, can be. When we talked about some of this stuff earlier, we didn't get into some of these issues. I was worried about kids getting in there and not being able to get out. I just don't know how this affects safety. I mean, logistically, typically, your dirt falls at 1.5 to 1. You don't worry about it. But if they're going to leave it in a condition, I think we want to be safe. And so I don't, maybe Alex has got some info, or Tom Healy, what's...
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir, Mr. Arnold.
Yeah, consistent with Jim's line of thinking here, but I think, Jim, don't lose sight that we're talking about the final restoration of the facility. So it will be covered with topsoil and have material growing on it. It won't be
pit-run
gravel slope.
The other issue, I guess, then through the chair,
yes, sir.
Erosion occurs. You know, the steeper the slope, the more this stuff's going to erode. And so if it's going to be mined in the water table, there's going to be a lake underneath it. So, and we're getting into this whole regime of sweat plans and all this. The more we can do to mitigate that stuff, we're better off down the road in how we manage stormwater runoff. I would just be curious to ask Mr. Strawn if this has come up with the industry, with the working group, and could you please address that through the chair?
Mr. Strawn, please.
Through the chair. I think an important thing to note here is that pre-existing legal non-conforming status pits have to comply with this. And it was brought to my attention after this was adopted that there have been some where reclamation has occurred. They've hired an engineer to determine what kind of material they're using, and all different materials have different angles proposed. And they've built that to the angle of repose, which is steeper than a 50% grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's held. It's covered with vegetation, and it's stable. If it was eroding, that wouldn't be the angle of repose, because the angle of repose naturally is sloped where it doesn't erode. So I think this is a good amendment. It allows for flexibility, allows for engineering different types of features.
Thank you.
It'd probably be near the edge of a piece of property, wouldn't it? So they're trying to get closer to the property, your angle may be a little bit steeper. You get closer to the property line than to mine?
Potentially. But there it could be an inside, it could be well within the line of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be there.
So you don't have any problems with it.
I think the operative word that was given there is the natural stabilized angle of repose. If it's natural, then what do you do? Change it to make it better? I don't know how that would work. So, I'm good. Mr. Gill?
Yeah, support his notion on this. Regarding the angle of repose and Assembly Member Arvin's comment that it will all be covered with topsoil. I think if I recall our amendments from our last time we address this, it doesn't necessarily have to be topsoil, it can be organic, some vaguely defined organic material, which we never figured out what that was, which is something other than topsoil, which is less stable. So I'm trying to stick with the existing leadership.
Any further discussion then? There's clearly objections from Madam Clerk.
Mr.
Yes, sir, Mr. Arvin.
Sorry, I was trying to unmute. Regarding Mr. Keel's comment, the change that we made before was organic material sufficient to support plant growth. So it's in that context. Although technically it's not topsoil, it is covered with material sufficient to support plant life.
Thank you, Mr. Arvin. Madam Clerk.
I'm going to read the primary amendment.
Yes, please.
Okay. The 1728067B, slopes shall be granted to retain a maximum 50% slope or the natural stabilized angle of repose of the existing earth material. And Assembly Member Keel?
Yes.
Assembly Member Keel?
No.
Assembly Member Woods?
Yes.
Assembly Member Culligan?
Yes.
Assembly Member Salmon?
Yes.
Assembly Member Culver?
Yes.
Assembly Member Halter?
Yes.
Assembly Member Arvin?
Yes.
Thank you. That primary amendment passed with Assembly Member Keel opposed.
Thank you, Lynn.
Mr.
Yes, sir, Mr. Halter.
Same section to H to clean up the second growing phase, and that needs to amend to say fourth. So that's just kind of
Motion is to amend to read, instead of 60% line of plant cover, the entire restored area shall be achieved by the end of the second, changing the word second to fourth. Is that correct, sir?
And that, yes, and that was made, I guess it's actually just
in the slide. And this is just a correction of something already done. Any objections to that amendment? Hearing none, that passes. Anything else, Mr. Coleman?
I have another amendment, Section J, areas, Section 11, Item J, areas covered by buildings, currently says paved driveway, paved roads, and paved parking lots, and areas where I'd like to strike the term paved, such as driveways, roads, and parking lots, and add, and areas where future utility easements and septic systems will exist.
Okay. Motion before us is to amend Item J, striking the words paved in the three locations and adding after the words parking lots in areas where future utility easements and septic systems will exist are exempt. That's the motion before us. Any discussion? Any objections?
Mr.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hyder.
I've got a question for the maker. Yes, I've printed the same copy. Is this is there going to be like a formal layoff plan of roads and things like that? Is that
the assumption that's the case?
I'll say in the whole pit for septic here.
Is there going to be, or is it going to be a percentage? You only have
Yes. To an extent not reclaimed. And
Mr. Strong, could you answer Mr. Homer for us, please?
The idea of this was when you have the situation, say, where there's a vacant lot and there's a hill there, mm-hmm. and say Walmart wants to come in, and they just want to sell off all the gravel and put a Walmart there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to require them to reclaim and then put a Walmart there. That doesn't make any sense. So we tried to put a provision there that would allow things like that, or a subdivision, if it's apply a master plan, here's where all the roads will go and everything like that, and then you actually build a, mm-hmm. a subdivision, that would be a great reason for this exemption. I do have concern with getting rid of the word paved in front of a parking lot, because you'll run into every single pit operator saying, well, this is a parking lot. And someday we'll have to test it. And someday, you know. So I think this is a little bit problematic to this, but I think it can be.
Mr. Collier.
I'll make an amendment and retract the term parking or paved in front of parking lot that we have left stand.
Any objections to that? Hearing none.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
So you'll, each one of these instances, you'll be following the reclamation plan you've already seen as this will be laid out.
Yeah. The idea would be that instead of a reclamation plan, they would give us a plan for their future development. And that would be
further discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, motion passes.
Another one.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Strong, I think it's come forward again. So there's also this concern. So in the 1728-040, required compliance of state and federal laws, under 4, notice of intent, brought to our attention that EPA versus the state of Alaska as far as notification. What are there's some... You wouldn't mind commenting on those so we can suggest the appropriate definition there.
Yeah, I think I don't know which page we're on. I think a copy of the Mr. Williams handout that privacy for the the DEC was given privacy for the pollution discharge system. So it would be more correct to say Alaska produced APDES, pollution discharge elimination system. I think that this would be an appropriate change.
Yeah. Make a motion to it to make the necessary changes to that notice of intent section to address the DEC as written in the document.
Can you read that to me, Madam Clerk?
Yeah, where is it?
What page on it?
I'm not sure where it is in the document. It's in the 1728-040 section of the actual ordinance.
So I was given specific instructions to only address these two different things, so I did not tinker with required compliance with local, state, and federal laws. So I think what you have to do is create a new section,
okay.
Because this is a change that's out of route for the
system.
Okay. So removing the amendment then?
It's not in order, you have to reject it. It's not dealing with our code section, we're in, right? Yeah, it's not in order.
And it's not on the floor.
Okay.
And we're now prepared, I believe, to vote on the main ordinance as amended. Is that correct? Is there an objection to the main ordinance as amended? And it stands approved as amended. Thank you, Scotty. That went really well. Do I have to give this back now?
He's not here yet.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir, Mr. Harvey.
Unless I'm wrong, I don't think you can reconsider a motion twice. If Mr. Keel has, and I'm not the clerk, but If Mr. Keel has additional amendments, he can bring it forward at a later date under legislation previously adopted, but I don't know if he can reconsider twice.
I think Madam Clerk is checking on that for us.
I could potentially help armchair parliamentary advice here. I don't think you can reconsider an ordinance twice, as Assemblymember Arvin said. However, in the past, there have been times where a vote has been taken and a member didn't know that that was the final vote. And then it's basically up to the body as to whether or not to allow to go back and say, well, we'll cancel that final vote and rescind that final vote and go back to the main motion for purposes of allowing it. I mean, you have done that. Or, as some of the members said, it can come back. But I don't think a second motion to reconsider is in order.
I'll withdraw my motion and suggestion to reconsider, and I'll be bringing forward the legislation for introduction at the January 17th meeting regarding regulation on it and the reasons for
thank you, Mr. Keel. Can we bring the mayor back in?
Yep.
He gets him.
Break a record there, go home.
Get home before midnight. Wow.
Sounds faster than I thought. So we're now ready. There's no executive session, so we're ready for comments. Mr. Manager, do you have any closing comments?
Yes. And regarding the comments, citizen comments tonight. We take those, especially the road issue, take those very seriously. Certainly working with staff. In fact, just so you know, our road supervisors met with me about 3 weeks ago with the concern that they wanted to make sure they had full support from my office to enforce the contracts. And I believe they were given that. So they were very concerned about having the ability to do so. We'll be working with the county attorney's office on making sure that the contracts are adhered to. We do have contractual obligations with these companies, and we also have past practices on the handle. So we'll be making sure that we honor our commitments with contracts. Also, too, in the future, we'll be working with the county, borough attorney's office to really tighten those up and to make sure that citizens are getting what they pay for and that safety is provided for those. We do recognize we have an issue and that we'll be working on correcting that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney.
Well, yeah, as to the redistricting, Mr. Mayor, I haven't been able to lay my hands on the order. The newspaper reported that the Petersburg claims were dismissed. The strange thing about that was that Petersburg plaintiffs won a preliminary motion that the districts did not meet the compactness requirements of the Constitution. The only remaining question was it then required to not be compact because of the Federal Voting Rights Act? Obviously, the judge reached the decision, yes, it was required to be, but I can't lay my hands on the opinion. I've got a call in the Fairbanks Borough Attorney's Office. I've been sick almost the past entire week. I've been very spotty at work. I'll follow up with them and see. As court view still shows, it's still set for trial next month in Fairbanks. So it should be proceeding. And if I lay my hands on the order, I'll be able to enlighten you more.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Comments other than Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you. And Member Cole.
Merry Christmas to everyone, and a much-needed break. See you back here, I guess, on the 29th. And my compliments to the legal department for helping create the flood hazard code and getting that through FEMA, and that's a good job. Thank you. And thanks to Mr. Moosey for dealing with all the little brush fires he puts out for us on a daily basis. I've got him pretty much on speed dial.
Merry Christmas, everybody. I am looking forward to the meeting on the 29th, our very succinct business meeting. Very pleased this week to see the governor's budget and where we are in the governor's budget on all of our projects and the city's projects and the like, and I don't think we could be in any better position to start with. I think it is our intent to work next week after the holiday on the 29th to redefine that and what our mission is going forward. And I'm also looking forward to engaging each and every one of you as we work with the manager to refine and define what his direction is and through the budget process so we're not all over the place and we can actually accomplish some things going forward. And Merry Christmas. Thank you.
I was very pleased with our meeting with the legislative people and the fact that our senator that represents our northeastern part of our borough came down from North Pole to visit with us and expressed himself as being extremely favorable to our operations down here regarding the port and railroads and stuff. And with that, Merry Christmas.
Have a good day. Member Solomon.
Well, it's good to see a plan come together, and you've all been very busy in my absence, and you should be applauded for that. The gravel ordinance has been long-standing, and it's good to have that resolved, and we're good to get Title 43 resolved finally and completely, and it shows the good works that can be done, and in spite of some people's beliefs in contrary, we're not here to dismantle the code. We're here to enhance and make it better, and my only intent is to do so. And so, at the risk of being politically incorrect, Merry Christmas to all of you.
Assemblymember Theo.
I just want to state for the public record that it was not my intent to vote for the improvement for the gravel ordinance that we just passed. I did have an amendment that I wanted to bring forward, but temporarily asleep at the wheel, I believe. So, but I will ask the clerk to please check and to determine whether or not I can call for reconsideration, and if I am able to. With input from the attorney, I will be my intention to call for reconsideration of the draft ordinance we just passed. If not, then I'll be, as I mentioned, I'll be introducing legislation at the January 17th meeting regarding reservation bonding. That's all I have.
Thank you. It's going to be interesting if you admit your intent was to vote no. What the attorney's going to say if you actually did vote yes, I would say you certainly had the right to reconsider.
You weren't here. We already had that debate.
Well, I'm just following up on what you said now. Okay. Assemblymember Hall.
Yes. First of all, yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody, and Happy New Year as it goes along. And, you know, Mr. Colbert, your last meeting, we were talking about in-house design and things of schools. I think it would really work well if we did, like, in-house design of road contracts under $500,000. And I think that, you know, we get a lot of road service areas and feel like their fund balances are up because they're not getting any projects through the system. And so, Mr. Moosey, I'd like you to talk to you. Your people and see if that would be something feasible, would be cost effective to design our own roads. I know the big projects can't do that, don't want to do that, but $500,000 under, see if there's potential to do our own design, get the projects going. I guess it's going to take what it takes to do that, but I think that would be pretty worthy.
the meeting tonight. We covered a lot of stuff quicker than we ever had before. 3 minutes after nine, I moved adjourned.
You didn't mean that, did you?
No, the mayor's got to talk.
No, I didn't mean that. Yeah.
My deputy mayor goes first, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I've got three things. The comment about double reconsideration, my intent was just to make sure whatever we did was sound in our ability to actually implement the motions that we set at the table. So there's a number of ways to bring that back, Mr. Keogh, even if it's not under reconsideration, and the clerk's office can give you a number of a bit of advice on that, I'm sure. It's been helpful to me in the past. Secondarily, Mr. Halter, I'm looking forward to what you spoke to earlier regarding the issue on the fees up in Talkeetna and your ideas to bring that forward at a later date. I'll look forward to seeing that, and I think some of the things you mentioned are a good way to resolve some of those problems. And then the third item, Mr. Culbert, you know, this Title 43 is a hairball, and you have been pretty effective at being able to talk to the very specific details of why it makes sense to make some of these changes. And consistent with what Mr. Solomon just said, I think it is very important that the message is sent that we are not trying to undo anything. We're trying to make it better. And I think that on a very complex issue, Mr. Culver, you're doing a pretty good job at that on Title 43. And lastly, Mr. Mayor, I do want to wish everybody a happy Merry Christmas. And that would be it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to commend Assemblymember Colligan for bringing forward the resolution on House Bill 88. My wife is from Britain, and she has seen whole jurisdictions in Britain go under Sharia law. They lose their British law to Sharia law, and it's happening here. I think this could very well be the signature most important legislation that Representative Gatto did in his whole career. I commend him for bringing it forward, and I commend you guys for stepping right up and supporting it too. I am working with, my intent was to work with the attorney this week on a pick, click, and give. It turns out that we, as a governmental body, cannot have access to that venue for the purpose of people using their permanent fund option to provide matching money for human services. And I would like to include cases of destitution for tax relief. And it turns out that we have to form a 501c, is it a 501c? Or 501c3 in order to qualify for that. So it may be a new board. The attorney's already shaking his head. But we will be having some discussions on it. If you want to address it now, go ahead.
I certainly can. This came up about a year and a half ago with the Parks, Recs, and Trail Foundation. Okay. As a second-class borough, except as authorized by statute, we lack the capacity to use borough personnel to set up an independent legal entity. So if you want to volunteer your time and get some friends to volunteer their time and incorporate a nonprofit to work with the borough, you certainly can. That's how they did the Parks, Recs, and Trails Foundation. Uh-huh. We had major discussions about it because the guy that did it came from Anchorage. Anchorage is a home rule municipality. They can do anything not prohibited by law. They did form it using borough personnel, borough resources, borough everything, formed a nonprofit Parks and Rec Foundation to bring in that grant, that matching money to do the trails and the, mm-hmm. And one was set up out here, but it was set up with people, you know, quote unquote, volunteering their time and effort and mm-hmm. things like that.
Okay.
So we can talk about it more if you'd like.
We will.
Sure.
Just remind the mayor that the Massora CMG/Arter is a 501c3 that has a strong working relationship with the Mass Subaru in the past, and I'm sure they would work with you if this is in order. It's already there, 20 years deep, and established nationally as well as regionally and statewide.
Oh, we have to look at your mission. I don't think it's quite as benevolent as it was needs to be.
You sound like a reverend, you know.
Well, that's all my comments. Apart from having a Merry Christmas. I rang the bell last night at Fred Myers and had a lot of positive response. A couple of people wished me back lumps of coal.
Economic opportunity.